As we saw in the two previous programs, the first four seals are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The first represents false Christs and false prophets. The second represents wars. The third represents famines. And the fourth represents pestilences and death following on the heels of wars and famines. The fifth seal represents the martyrdom of saints in a time of great tribulation. And the sixth seal represents the heavenly signs that will immediately precede and announce the arrival of the great and terrible day of the Lord. Now, before the wrath of God is poured out into the earth, that is to say, before the opening of the seventh seal, 144,000 from all the tribes of the children of Israel are sealed. This happens in chapter 7, as we saw at the conclusion of the last program of this series. But what is this sealing that takes place? In Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 13 and 14, the Apostle Paul says, "In Him, that is, in Christ, you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." The 144,000 from the tribes of Israel are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. This seal of the Spirit not only guarantees their salvation, that is to say, as long as they abide in the faith, it also assures their protection from the wrath of God in that prophetic time period known as the Day of the Lord. Later, when the forces of evil are released upon the earth, John notes, "They were commanded not to harm the grass or the earth or any green thing or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads." And that's found in Revelation chapter 9 and verse 4. We're reminded of the prophet Ezekiel's vision of the man with the writer's inkhorn in Ezekiel the 9th chapter. Here's what the prophet says. In verse 1 he says, "Then he called out in my hearing with a loud voice, saying, Let those who have charge over the city draw near, each with a deadly weapon in his hand. And suddenly six men came from the direction of the upper gate, which faces north, each with his battle axe in his hand. One man among them was clothed with linen and had a writer's inkhorn at his side. They went in and stood beside the bronze altar. Now the glory of the God of Israel had gone up from the cherub, where it had been, to the threshold of the temple. And he called to the man clothed with linen who had the writer's inkhorn at his side. And the Lord said to him, Go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and put a mark on the foreheads of the men who sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done within it. To the others he said in my hearing, Go after him through the city and kill. Do not let your eyes spare, nor have any pity. Utterly slay old and young men, maidens and little children and women, and do not come near anyone on whom is the mark, and begin at my sanctuary. So they began with the elders who were before the temple." In a similar way, the 144,000 of all the tribes of Israel are marked or sealed. They are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And it makes sense that God would protect His own in the day of His wrath for the purpose of the releasing of God's judgments upon the earth is to bring the wicked to repentance. The 144,000, having already repented, having already returned to Jesus Christ as their Savior, are now protected from the wrath of God. Now, another group is mentioned in chapter 7. After hearing about the 144,000, John sees a great multitude, in fact, too many to number, from all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues. Some commentators say that this group is an entirely separate group, and that the promise of being sealed in their foreheads is not given, for unlike the 144,000 previously described, they're in heaven and not on the earth. I do not agree with that interpretation. Verse 14 tells us that these are the ones who come out of great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In other words, because of the great tribulation that precedes the heavenly signs and day of the Lord, these people turned to God in repentance and accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. I believe the implication is that they, like the 144,000 Israelites, are also sealed with the Spirit of promise before the wrath of God is released upon the earth. Now, some will ask, what about verses 15 through 17? Don't these verses say that the latter group is in heaven? Here's what they say. Let's read it for ourselves in the Bible, beginning in verse 15. This is chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. It says, therefore they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger any more nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This, in fact, is a symbolic way of speaking of a relationship, not a location. They are close to God and to the Lamb of God. They look to the Lamb of God as their shepherd who will supply their needs. That's all this is telling us. It is really not saying that they are literally in heaven before the throne of God. Keep in mind, this is the book of Revelation. This is a book filled with visions, filled with metaphors, filled with symbolism. The sealing of the 144,000 and the great multitude from all nations follows the pattern that has already been set forth in Scripture. And I believe this is the important thing here for us to realize. In the Old Testament, God reveals that he will begin with the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the chosen people, as they're sometimes called. He will make them into a model nation, and all the other nations will seek to learn of the ways of their God. The New Testament church follows the same pattern. It began with a multitude of Jews in Jerusalem, and in time it spread to the Gentiles. This principle or pattern is stated by the Apostle Paul in Romans 1 and verse 16. Paul says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. It appears that in the end time, just before the tumultuous day of the Lord, that same pattern will be repeated. Israelites are converted, and then immediately following the conversion of a certain number of Israelites, a great number from all nations turn to God in repentance. So now that they are sealed, now that the 144,000 as well as the great multitude are sealed, now that they're protected, the time has come for the opening of the seventh seal, and we find that in Revelation, the 8th chapter. Let's begin reading in verse 1. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Now keep this in mind. The seventh seal is made up of the seven trumpets. Now, as each trumpet sounds, things happen in the earth. And these things represent the judgments of God. Verse 6, so the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Verse 7, the first angel sounded, and hail and fire followed, mingled with blood. And they were thrown to the earth, and a third of the trees were burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Then the second angel sounded, and something like a great mountain burning with fire was thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea became blood, and a third of the living creatures in the sea died, and a third of the ships were destroyed. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch, and it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. Then the fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sea was struck. A third of the sun was struck, and a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. You know, when you stop and think about this for a few moments, you quickly realize that man's life support system is being severely damaged here. It speaks of the vegetation, the seas, the springs of waters and the rivers, as well as the atmosphere. So man's life support system is being badly damaged here. But you think that's bad enough. One would think that's bad enough, but, you know, there's more coming here, as we're told. There's more coming. This is just the fourth trumpet. Remember, there are three more, as we're going to see in a moment. These last three are called the three woes. Let's read it in verse 13. And I looked, and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet of the three angels who were about to sound. These are the last three trumpets. They're called the three woes. And these angels are about to sound, as it says here. The fifth angel sounds, and I won't take the time to read through the entire account, but it tells us that the forces of evil come forth from the body, I should say from the bottomless pit. And it tells us in verse 4, they were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing, or any tree, but only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. And it says in verse 12, One woe is past. Behold, still two more woes are coming after these things. Remember the next woes, the second woe is the sixth trumpet, and the third woe is the seventh trumpet. And then the sixth trumpet sounds, and an army of 200 million on strange-looking horses are sent to kill one-third of mankind when this trumpet sounds, which is the sixth trumpet, the second woe. Verse 20 tells us, But the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor talk. And they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. So here it seems that we're dealing with incorrigibly wicked human beings, those who, even though they see the judgments of God in the earth, even though they experience them, nevertheless, they do not repent. Now, in chapter 10 and verse 7, we're told, But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel, when he is about to sound, the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants the prophets. Now then, continuing on, let's skip over a lot of material here and notice what it says in verse 15 of chapter 11. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So here the seventh angel is associated with the end of this present age, the seventh and last trumpet, the end of the age, and the beginning of a new age. Now let's move on over to chapter 15. The chapters between tell us of some history and some things that are going on in the meantime, but chapter 15 continues the story, and it tells us something about what happens when the seventh angel sounds. Chapter 15, verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. It is filled up. So this is the end of the wrath of God, and this ushers in, then, a new age. Now move to chapter 16. Chapter 16, you find the seven plagues, which are the seven last plagues, and this, remember, is the seventh trumpet, which is the last of the three woes. In the first bowl plague in verse 2, there are sores that are given to men, that plague men. The second bowl plague, again, the sea is affected. The sea turns to blood. When the third bowl is poured out, the waters turn to blood. When the fourth bowl is poured, men are scorched. When the fifth bowl is poured out, darkness and pain are experienced. And the sixth bowl, let's read that one in the sixth bowl beginning in verse 12. Let's see what happens here. Then the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth. And of the whole world, or go out to the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Behold, I am coming as a thief. This gives you some indication as to what will be happening simultaneously with the pouring out of these seven last plagues. Behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked, and they see his shame. And they gathered them together to the place called in Hebrew Armageddon. Here is the real Armageddon. Some people think of Armageddon in terms of some event such as a great comet or something of that nature, an asteroid striking the earth, something that we know is coming, but up to this time there's been no particular turmoil. But this is after. Keep in mind, this occurs after the Great Tribulation period. This occurs after the heavenly signs are seen announcing the arrival of the day of the Lord. This occurs, in fact, during the day of the Lord. Now the seventh bowl is poured out, and the earth is shaken severely. Now, you can read those for yourself in chapter 16. All seven bowls are there, and the descriptions of the plagues, the punishments that accompany the pouring out of these bowls can be seen, and you can read it for yourself. Now then, let's go on over to chapter 19, and this is very important, and see something else that happens during this time period. Something else that happens with the last trumpet. Remember, we're still speaking of the seventh trumpet, which is within that seventh seal of the book of Revelation. Revelation 19, beginning in verse 11, "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." This is a description of the second coming of Jesus Christ. It happens under the seventh trumpet. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in verses 51 and 52, the Apostle Paul says, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." So here we find the last trumpet, the seventh trumpet, which is a part of the seventh seal. And at the seventh trumpet, not only are the seven plagues poured out, but also under this heading of the seventh trumpet, Jesus Christ, or this period represented by the seventh trumpet, Jesus Christ himself returns to this earth. This is the last trumpet. And here you can see why that previously John wrote that the kingdoms of the world have become the kingdoms of our God, or that has become the kingdom of our God, and Jesus Christ would reign forever. So to reiterate briefly here, what we have here is the first four seals are the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The fifth seal represents martyrdom during a time of great tribulation. The sixth seal represents the heavenly signs preceding and announcing the arrival of the day of the Lord. The seventh seal represents the day of the Lord itself. And it is made up, the seventh seal is made up of seven trumpets, the last three of which are the three woes. The seventh trumpet is made up of seven bowl plagues, and of course it's during this period that the second coming of Jesus Christ occurs. All of this, depicted by the seventh seal, which takes up a great portion of the book of Revelation, is a description of nothing less than the day of the Lord that the prophets of the Old Testament spoke about. The day of the Lord, the day of God's wrath. Turn with me to Zechariah 14 if you're following along in your Bible, and let's see what it says about the day of the Lord. "Behold, the day of the Lord is coming," verse 1, "and your spoil will be divided in your midst, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a great large valley. Half of the mountain shall move toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach to Azel. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. Verse 12, and this shall be the plague with which the Lord will strike all the people who fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall dissolve while they stand on their feet. Their eyes shall dissolve in their sockets, and their tongues shall dissolve in their mouths. This is speaking of the great day of God's wrath, the day that is called in biblical prophecy the day of the Lord, and you have it described for you in the book of Revelation in the seventh seal with those seven trumpets and the seven bowl plagues, all of which combined make up this prophetic a description of this prophetic time period known as the day of the Lord. This is an exciting study in the book of Revelation, a study which involves a great deal of understanding. A great deal of material is covered here. And once you put together the prophecies that God has given throughout the Bible, from the Old Testament throughout the New Testament, and begin to compare with the symbols of Revelation, then it all becomes clear. And we have seen now the meaning of these seven seals